So you challenge Charlotte to a match?
Ladies and gentlemen, get ready for Tacomania!
It's Rusev Day! I'm not finished with you! That, my friend, is gonna leave a mark!
I love black eyes!
Where are you, Dango?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting episode of Tacomania. I'm your host, Desmino, with my tag team partner, J-Bomb. Say hello, J-Bomb.
Hey, man. How's it going, dude?
It's going good. I haven't seen you. I haven't talked to you. As far as I know, you've been on the other side of the... Well, you're not the other side of the earth. That's what you're going to call Florida, but...
I've been down, baby.
You've been down south.
Yeah.
It's funny because we were actually... You're leaving, I guess, Montreal, Canada, and we got hit with quite a heat wave while you've been gone, so... It's even continued to now. It's up to about, what, 95 Fahrenheit?
It's nice.
Yeah. Oh, I hate it.
I love
it. I've been captive in my house.
You need to get a pool, bro.
I know. I was trying. I was just trying to work my angles, see if I could hang out with my homies with the pools. But no, definitely learned my lesson. I definitely need a pool.
Is that why you texted me? Hey, are you home yet?
No, just seeing what's going on. I was wondering if you were around for the heat wave and what you thought, but if you would be back for it. Or I also was wondering if the weather was as hot or equally as hot in Florida.
Yeah, it was like 105 all week. It's friggin' beautiful. Wow. But we had a pool. We had AC. The kids had a good time. I didn't watch any Raw, any SmackDown. So I've literally been on vacation from life, from the podcast, from social media. I got a whole bunch of stuff to catch up on. And I'm under the impression that you're going to enlighten me today about what's been going on.
I will enlighten you. You've missed not very much, but a few things at the same time.
Enlighten me on this. Where can I buy Tacomania merch?
Well, what I was going to say is before we get into it, let's talk about the merch.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, make sure to check out ProWrestlingTees.com/Tacomania. We're on there right now. We got some shirts for sale. We have our new summer retro design too. Check out our social media. We posted a couple pics of some of our Tacomaniacs wearing our gear. It's really nice. It's really good. And we got some discounts right now. Is it 20% right now?
Yeah, 20% up until July 4th, I believe. No, July 6th, I think. Not good.
Well, you better get them, folks.
Yeah, it's running out of time. And happy 4th of July to all the listeners in the States. We're probably about a day late on this, but happy 4th nonetheless.
Yes, we want to send out our love. We just had our national holiday, Canada Day, last weekend. So for our American friends listening, enjoy your day, enjoy your barbecue, enjoy your beer. And it's funny because when we have Canada Day, we're like, yeah, you know, because you have it. But, you know, U.S. is a couple days later. But then when they have it, you're like, oh, I want to, you know, I kind of want to celebrate both. You know?
I do celebrate both. I celebrated both this time. I miss it. I wasn't in the States for it, but I was in the States for Canada Day.
There are neighbors below us, and we want to show some love. We love you guys down there, and we love the support you show us. Now go buy a t-shirt.
Yeah, and follow us on social media. Dez, where can they follow us?
They can follow us on Twitter at _Tacomania. They can listen to us on Podbean, iTunes, Google Play. We are on Spotify now, folks.
Yeah, oh shit. We didn't even talk about that, eh? Congratulations, bro. We made it to Spotify.
That
was a bucket list. You used to play in a band.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Used to play in a band. It kind of came out of nowhere. We applied a long time ago, and it just happened one day.
5 months, man. The band never made it on, but we as Tacomaniacs did.
Pretty sweet, guys.
Yeah.
So, as J-Bomb said, he missed out on quite a bit of wrestling while he was gone. We had two Raws, two SmackDowns, some NXT, some stuff here and there, yada, yada, yada. Let's get into the big nitty-gritties of them all. All right. So, I guess the biggest one for me, coming off of some lackluster Raw, is actually the feud now with Sasha Banks and Bayley. Now, this is something we've talked about many times on our podcast, and it seems to be on and off. These two break up, they get back together. Well, not this week on Raw, but the week before that, they had a tag team match, and they ended up losing. And I think at the end of it, I guess that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. And after they seemed like they were on back on good terms, Bayley just lost it and lost it after the match and just beat the living tar out of Sasha Banks.
Fuck yeah.
Really beat her down well. And when she had her outside the ring, she was pummeling on her, and you can actually see the audio clip online. She says, "You ain't shit, Sasha." And,
for real?
Yeah, literally. She literally says it. And yeah, so that was pretty intense. So people were like, oh my God. And the crowd was eating it up. And I had been talking about how I really enjoyed the angle on Raw, this segment with Alexa Bliss, Ronda Rousey, where she attacks Angle, puts Alexa Bliss through a table, and the crowd was into it so much. And then they go ahead and suspend her for 30 days, which was completely deflating the angle for me, or at least the segment itself. And they kind of do something similar now with Sasha and Bayley, because they announce after Raw, and it was probably maybe my favorite segment of Raw that week, that they now both have to go to counseling.
Wait,
so
immediately. Who issued this counseling? Is it Kurt Angle?
Kurt Angle, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, or you're fired. It's like, it's really cheesy and ridiculous. So I was like really excited for this. It finally blew. She blew her fuse, Bayley. We saw the Bayley that we wanted to see. We waited so long. And then they put him through some stupid comedic therapy. And I knew in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, they have a chance to do something really cool with this. Or they're going to blow it with the therapy session. They're going to bring back that same doctor who did Team Hell No's therapy session.
Did they?
And they did.
They did.
They did. And it was so dumb because Bayley's sitting in the waiting room and Sasha walks in. She's like, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Well, I have a therapy session. Well, would they not watch Raw or social media? Like, we know, they both know they have a therapy.
Okay, hold on. You paint this picture in my mind. Are they, like, in their, like, ring gear and shit?
No, they're in their casual gear.
Okay, so this is, like, a pre-recorded reality segment.
Yeah, and they did it throughout the night.
Oh, okay, well, they did that.
They go back and yeah, but it was never really, I don't know. They kind of just went into it. They were kind of bitching back and forth at each other. It kind of was a reverse. It's kind of rewinding back a few weeks where they would just complain about each other and bitch at each other. And at the end, it was more or less to be continued. But they've kind of turned it into a bit of a joke where it should just really be an all-out aggressive feud between the two of them.
Right.
You know, just really hostile.
Yes.
The way that Bayley beat down Sasha last week, and then Sasha just like runs into her at therapy, and she's not wants to attack Bayley back. Like, this should be like, they should be out for blood.
Blood.
And I was super into this after last week. I was really excited how Bayley kind of just went crazy, and the fans loved it, and that's the Bayley we wanted to see. And now they're taking a step backwards. So if there's one thing that I can be salty about, it's definitely the way that they're handling this feud.
Salty Dez. So. Is it a Bayley heel turn, or is it just nothing's changed, but they fought on Raw that time?
They fought on Raw that time, and I don't know. It's kind of all these question marks. I mean, Bayley's still acting nice like Bayley. She's not being, you know, overly mean. They're just kind of being the way that they were the week prior. And, you know, Bayley's fed up with Sasha because of this, and Sasha's fed up with Bayley because of that. And they didn't really work anywhere, so... I mean, we saw what it did for Team Hell No. It made them a pretty good, strong tag team. Maybe in the end, they're going to hug it out. But
oh, my God. I hope not.
I'm just really kind of a little bit let down, too. And we're also heading into Extreme Rules. The card's pretty stacked. I'm quite certain they probably won't make the card. But it could have been a really cool match to have between the two of them with Extreme Rules involved. But now it looks like that won't happen unless they do rush things up a little bit. Otherwise, you can ink it in for SummerSlam. I was really, really excited with the potential with this angle when Bayley attacked Sasha finally. But the following week, I'm disappointed once again. And not only are they not on, they're not wrestling this week, they're in pre-recorded segments. So it's almost like a giant step backwards, if you ask me.
So we talked about this a long time ago and how we can, you know, revitalize Bayley as kind of a failed main roster superstar. And I know we talked about, like, people mentioned Hollywood Bayley, gave her like the Hulk Hogan dark angle and stuff like that.
Black, yeah.
Remember we talked about her like falling in love with like a bad boy? Who was that?
Well, didn't we talk about Elias, right?
Oh, remember? Yeah, she was like, yes.
She was like, I want to walk with you, Elias. And I think even when they were doing the mixed match challenge, they kind of joked a little bit about it. And I think there was also a ride-along with Elias when he had his phone, and Bayley actually called them on the phone while they were in while he was in his limo. And it would have been perfect because they had everything in place to actually roll that out.
Damn.
And she could have been like trying to be all cool and wearing like a leather jacket or something and like slicking her hair back, or I think it could have been really cool. And he could have been like either liked her or didn't like her, you know, and just used her, you know.
He should have not liked her at first, and then she saves him a few times and he kind of, you know, starts falling in love with her, and then she can ultimately, you know, reject him. And they could do a double turn where she becomes full heel and he becomes a babyface at that point. It could be fun.
She hits him over the head with a guitar at SummerSlam or something.
Because he's like looking at Sasha or some shit. I'd be so good. WWE, listen to the podcast. Come on.
So, yeah, I guess that's something that I'm just not happy with the way they've done things a little bit. And I hope that they can maybe rectify it. I just don't want to see the stupid counseling. I don't want to see it being made a joke. They seem to do that with everything they put their hands on. They're going to ruin it, and I don't want them to.
Yeah, fair enough. I got really excited when I heard your tweet. I read your tweet while I was in Florida, and it was like, just like that, you know, heel turn for Bayley, and I was like, oh, fuck. I'm missing this, and it seems like...
And then I tweeted later, they're going to ruin it with this comedy, with this counseling thing. It's being a comedy shtick, and right away it was like, boom, wah, wah, wah.
Mm-hmm.
So another thing I don't understand, and another thing that's kind of grinding my gears.
Throw some salt on it, Dez. Throw some salt.
Alexa Bliss, Nia Jax, we're getting another match between the two of them. This feud seems to go on forever. But it seems to me like at Extreme Rules, this is the end of the line for their feud. And it also seems like it's the only match, more or less, with Extreme Rules in it at Extreme Rules. I think they've added maybe another one since, but off the top of my head, I think this is the only one that actually has Extreme Rules. And what Extreme Rules are, it's kind of a gray area. It's like, what does that mean? Does that mean they're going to have kendo sticks?
Oh, God.
Because to me, it seems like, you know, what are they going to do? You know, we could do anything, but it's going to be like kendo sticks and, you know. And Nia Jax thinks it's going to work to her advantage. But to be quite honest with you, I have a feeling it's going to work to Alexa Bliss's advantage because she can beat the crap out of Nia Jax with items, right?
Of course.
Otherwise, she'd probably lose a match. So the other match I was thinking of is the 30-minute Iron Man match that they're going to be having.
Oh, who's in that?
That is going to be Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler. So that'll be exciting. These two had great matches the past few weeks. So that's also something to check out.
We're getting a Dolph Ziggler.
Dolph Ziggler and Seth Rollins have been taking it up a whole nother level.
We're getting...
They bring up the best in each other.
30 minutes of this. This is great. This is great news.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be a great matchup. And getting back on topic about Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss, it's not so much that they're feuding again that grinds my gears. It's more the case that I'm confused with this whole Ronda Rousey thing because we saw this awesome segment. She destroys Alexa Bliss. She's counting down the days on Twitter after she gets suspended, but she still commits her tour dates. And the WWE says, oh, well, she's still committing her dates. But wasn't Raw still the date she should be committing? And then... She did a segment with Renee Young where she's like, oh yeah, I'm going to be at Extreme Rules because it's not Raw, it's a pay-per-view, so technically I can go. It's like, really? Are you going to go into these semantics? And then it's like, well, how did you have the interview with Renee Young if you were suspended on Raw? Like, it just doesn't make sense. There's so many plot holes in it, holes you can poke into it, and they just shouldn't have suspended her, or they should have, like, had... Alexa Bliss, like, take her out really badly so she's injured for a week or two. If she needs to take time off and do something. So the whole being suspended for 30 days, just very inconsistent. Doesn't make sense to me. Just have her come back and destroy Bliss, or have her do the Stone Cold thing where she was suspended but would show up every week. I just really confused by this whole suspension thing, and everybody's seeing right through it.
So what is her involvement with Extreme Rules then?
I think she's going to be either... by Nia Jax's corner, at ringside, as a fan, in a seat. But she's going to be there. So who knows how that's going to play out. But it's also going to be interesting because it's an Extreme Rules match, right? So technically, Ronda can get involved, right? So how is Alexa Bliss going to retain? We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. Could be a great match, though. So another great match that we've had, folks, though, and I want you to watch this, even though you didn't catch Raw this past week, Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. This match was a long match, and it was incredible. It seemed like it went on forever, but every minute of it was exciting. So many amazing spots, and there wasn't even a winner at the end, and I'm not even that disappointed because everybody was doing such a good job. I didn't know who I wanted to eat the pin. And at the same time, it kind of leaves you wanting more, and maybe these guys are going to be getting at it again. So that was an amazing match. I think Ziggler and McIntyre, they've really taken it up a level, and they really bring out the best in each other. So I really, really like the two of them together a lot.
Was there any more subtle indications of a possible split up of the Zigmeister and your man crush?
No, not yet. Not happening.
And Roman?
So I think that's... What's that?
What was the response for Roman?
Roman got some boos, not as much as usual. The crowd wasn't too into it, or at least too... they weren't hijacking the show too much, and they were pretty respectful. But again, you're getting a little bit of cheers for Roman Reigns. Maybe it's because he's feuding with Bobby Lashley right now, and that's kind of a boring matchup between the two of them. Roman Reigns is actually doing some pretty good work on the mic. I've actually liked a bit of his work with what he's kind of been saying to Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley has been very boring and generic, you know, like, oh, you're the guy because, you know, I haven't been around, so that's why I let you be the guy.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Bobby Lashley's horrible.
Yeah. And he's wearing a baseball cap backstage because he wants to hide his eyebrows. So, like, I wear a cap all the time, so I can't, you know, complain too much, but when you're on the microphone, the beak of his cap goes over his face, so you can't even see his eyes, and it's very dark in his face. Mm. So I'm just very surprised McMahon lets that go. I guess his eyebrows must be that atrocious that he just, like, cover your face.
Oh, fuck. Oh, Vinny.
Vinny likes to poop. Speaking of poop, you missed something quite exciting this week on Raw.
Oh, yeah?
We had Kevin Owens being tossed off the stage in a porta potty.
Was he, like, taking a dump? And
so... Braun Strowman's been picking on Kevin, and they actually saying that he's been picking on Kevin for the past 2 weeks. Last week, he tipped over Kevin Owens' rental car, and this week, Kevin Owens was put in a match with him, and before the match pretty much got underway, Kevin Owens hightailed for the backstage area and was looking for a place to hide, and randomly, there's this porta potty sitting out in the middle of nowhere. It was stuck out like a sore thumb. It was so obvious. And he's like, oh, well, I'll go in here. Yeah, that seems like a good idea, Kevin. Why don't you just keep running down the block, or why don't you, like, I don't know, I don't...
He should have had to go to the bathroom, then.
It was silly.
They should have worked it
in. Yeah, maybe he had to go to the bathroom. And anyway, so Braun Strowman runs around, he's looking for him, he's just saying, where's Kevin? And then he kind of walks by the porta potty, and he kind of gets the idea that somebody might be in it. So he knocks, Braun Strowman knocks on it, and he pretends he's a woman. He's like, hello,
oh my God.
Yeah. And Kevin's like, go away, blah, blah, blah. And then Braun Strowman proceeds to, I guess, close the porta potty or jam it shut. And by doing so, he takes a roll of duct tape and he goes around it like two or three times. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? Like, you could easily kick that open. But okay, sure. I think they could have found a better way. I'm being really critical here, folks. I know. but yeah, so anyways, he ends up like the porta potty itself has a rope attached to it. And Braun Strowman puts a rope around himself and actually drags it back to the ring from the outside of the arena, which is pretty cool. But and then he puts it on the stage and then shoulder tackles it off the stage and it falls to the ground. During this time, you can hear Kevin Owens yelling to leave him alone and stuff. But it's not clear whether he's in there or not. There was some pounding on the door to begin with, but I think after he started moving it, maybe it was empty with some weights in it. I'm not sure. The way it fell, it was pretty dangerous if Kevin Owens was in it. And they did some camera angle work where they went back to it quickly when they opened it, and Kevin Owens was lying there with that blue stuff all over him. So they did a very good job at making it seem like he was in there. Not poop, but he was covered in that blue liquid that's in porta potties.
He should have been covered in
shit. So it wasn't clear whether or not he was in it or not. I kind of sense he wasn't, because I was pretty crazy to take that bump. It must have not been very stable in there.
Yeah,
I feel like when they opened it, he kind of like rolled into it or something, and the blue stuff on him looked like blue paint. But maybe I'm being too over analytical and he actually wasn't it. And if he wasn't it, holy shit, that was a hell of a bump to take.
Pun intended, eh, buddy?
Yeah. No kidding. So it's interesting to see where this takes us. Kevin Owens is getting his butt kicked week after week from Braun Strowman. Does this mean that Kevin Owens is going to pick up a win on him eventually? I don't know, but it's interesting to watch, at least. It's one of the more interesting things that are happening this.
Do you think they'll have a porta potty match at Extreme Rules?
No, I don't think Braun Strowman could fit in the porta potty.
They could just get an oversized one. Johnny on the spot.
Johnny on the spot.
Okay, well, before we go any further, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with you in just a second. Welcome back, guys, and before we get going with the rest of the show, we just got a quick little plug here. Rafael Esparza, who purchased one of our t-shirts over at ProWrestlingDeez.com, he's got a little promo for you guys. You can get $60 worth of premium member picks by texting the word WRESTLING to 29022. This will give you a free $60 credit that you can use like real cash to sign up for My Plays, and you can do all this at DocSports.com. You could check out Rafael Esparza on Twitter at VSI DocSports. So getting back to the cast, Dez, so let's jump over to SmackDown.
Well, for those of you that have been living under a rock.
Like J-Bomb.
Like J-Bomb in Florida, lucky bastard.
Yeah.
We got the return of Team Hell No.
Ah, Hell No.
Right, so we had been talking about the Bludgeon Brothers and how they attacked Daniel Bryan and how this was going to play into things, because it was a bit strange having Luke Harper face off against Daniel Bryan. Where was it headed? You know, who's going to be the tag team partner for Daniel Bryan? And then, geez, you know, hit me like a, I guess, a slap to the face. Duh, Kane, right? So, yeah, Kane is back. He helped Daniel Bryan out, and they're back at it, doing their usual, I guess, love and hate relationship, their banter back and forth. Yes, no, yes, no. The crowd seems to be enjoying it. It's fun. I liked it, too. We got to see them face off against the Usos this week, too. The Usos cut a pretty good promo, and the match itself was all right. But yeah, we saw them beating the Usos. I guess they needed a credible win heading into their tag team title match at Extreme Rules against the Bludgeon Brothers. But yes, Team Hell No, they've returned, and they do show signs of, I guess, tension. But I think that's their shtick, right? So I think it's just going to be the nature of their relationship. I wouldn't read too much into it. But I was also reading today that they seem to be putting Daniel Bryan's, I guess, career or matches on a little bit of fast forward. That's why we're getting him versus AJ Styles. That's why we're getting him versus Samoa Joe, him tagging with Kane. A lot has been going on with Daniel Bryan, I think, just in anticipation if in case he does not sign come September. That's at least what I'm reading.
So,
but
Team Hell No is like a big thing. Like, fans enjoyed this because I missed it the first time around.
Team Hell No is, I believe, in my mind, is what really, I guess, escalated the yes chant.
Really?
Yeah, because Daniel Bryan kind of started with Kane as a heel, and he would often say, no, 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 and the crowd would be like, yes, 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 and they would kind of cheer against Daniel Bryan, and it would frustrate him, and then eventually, that's why it was Team Hell No, because it was always no, and then eventually, as they turned face, they started doing yes. And then that became kind of Daniel Bryan's thing. And then he kind of became single as a single competitor as well, too. And it kind of helped skyrocket him. So I think it was a huge part of creating Daniel Bryan. And I guess the crowd-pleasing favorite that he is. So, yeah, it's kind of cool to see them back. It's interesting to see. At least they're going to be doing something interesting in the tag team division. But, yeah.
If Daniel doesn't sign, what do you think? What does that mean?
Well, I don't know. I mean, he could have such a chance ahead of him to go onto the indie scene, you know, wrestle with the Bull Club, wrestle with Cody Rhodes, do, you know, program with Kenny Omega. But, you know, this is what he wants to do. It'll give him a bit, maybe more free time for his family, but will it? You know, it'll pay quite well. It really depends on what he wants. I kind of feel in my heart he's a WWE guy and he'll want to stay in the WWE. But I don't know. If they kind of doghouse him a bunch, he might not really like it. I'd be worried if he'd signed his contract and then all of a sudden they just start making him lose left and right.
Yeah, it'd be pretty brutal.
Because they own him again at that point, or they have him secured. We'll see what happens. But for now, just enjoy the ride, folks. We'll get Team Hell No. We're going to see Dan O'Brien up until at least the fall. And hopefully he'll sign and things will work out and we'll have more DB to come.
DB. Better than DP?
Hell's DDP. Yeah. DDP, DP, DB, DB.
So I did see some stuff on Jeff Hardy. Did he paint his face like red, white, and blue?
He did for the U.S. Championship Open last night. I guess more because it was kind of the one before Independence Day. And The Miz answered the call. So that was kind of exciting. You had The Miz coming out. Usually it's somebody who you don't think is going to win or, you know, who knows what it's going to be. But The Miz came out. I didn't know if The Miz was going to actually win the U.S. title. There's all kinds of rumors about Jeff Hardy wrestling with all kinds of injuries.
Wait, The Miz won?
The Miz did not win.
Oh, okay.
No, but you don't know with it, The Miz, right?
Right, of course.
He can find a way to win, and he almost did win, and he thought he won, and that was his downfall. But yeah, it was a pretty good match. It wasn't too bad, and The Miz came up short, but at the same time, it was cool to see him being the one to answer the challenge. And I have a feeling that The Miz is going to interrupt or be involved in a Team Hell No match, or They're going to have to give us this match of The Miz and Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam, I'd like to think, in case Daniel Bryan doesn't sign. So that's my thinking on the matter.
Or maybe they wave The Miz in his face like, you want this match, re-sign and we'll give it to you.
Well, I don't know if he thinks he needs it, but here's the thing. I have a feeling, if anything, they'll give us the match at SummerSlam and The Miz is going to win. And it's going to basically be to stick it to Daniel Bryan if he doesn't win. Sorry, if he doesn't sign. And if he does sign, they'll be like, okay, well, then you'll get the next win, or, you know, over your best of whatever.
You got to think they're going to give him what he wants, man. I mean, with the signing, with
but if
Fox
he's not signing, if he's not signing in September, he's losing against The Miz at SummerSlam. That is my belief.
No, I agree with that. But SummerSlam is what? That falls July?
August. Yeah.
So, I mean, he has all the way up until September, right, to re-sign. So they might not even know.
Yeah, no, I guess it's quite possible. I'm just kind of seeing where they're going towards SummerSlam. Is Team Hell No going to win the titles? Maybe they'll lose them at SummerSlam. Who knows?
I mean, Daniel Bryan's return, right? His return, we've seen him feud with Cass, and now he's tagging with Kane. I miss Team Hell No. I'm hoping it was when Kane was a better wrestler.
Because, well, I mean, Kane's never been an excellent wrestler. I think
he was entertaining in the ring.
He was intimidating. He was badass when he first came into it for his first few years. Man, when he fought Austin in the first blood match in the Hell in a Cell, like, he was a force to be reckoned with. Nobody could beat him. Nobody can pin him. Obviously now, you know, he can't be taken quite so seriously. And he's a bit of a, you know, he's more animated now. He talks a lot more, makes jokes and stuff. He's more human, I guess you could say.
Yeah, which I don't like. Yeah.
No, I know. I mean, they did ruin Kane, but.
They ruined Kane. They should just, like, burn him. You know, like, no, but really, like,
well, I thought they could have done that when they brought his mask back the first time. Like, he brought that mask back, but they could have, like, it wasn't working without the mask. They could have had him have a feud with the Undertaker where he's in like an inferno match. He gets set on fire and then he comes back a year later with the mask or something. It just doesn't make sense now. He just has the mask. He doesn't have the mask. The mask has hair attached to it. They just keep, like, completely ignoring things that have happened.
WWE, folks. WWE.
Prepare to be let down.
Yeah.
And one thing that let me down as well, too, on SmackDown, I saw the match between AJ Styles and Aiden English. I was actually pretty excited for Aiden English. I thought it could be a really good chance for him to highlight himself, put on a solid match. The match was meh. It was like, again, he was pretty much being fed to AJ Styles, make him look strong. So the match itself wasn't too great. Again, you know, he was able to be laid out by Rusev after the match, but I don't know. I was hoping for a better match between the two. I'm not too excited about this build-up between AJ Styles and Rusev. I'm sorry to tell you this, J-Bomb, but I really feel like this match is just going to be a title defense for AJ Styles.
Of course. I mean, Rusev's not winning this.
He's not winning this, and I've also seen some early art for Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
Between AJ Styles and Samoa Joe for the title. So I think he'll be moving on to Samoa Joe next.
Okay, well, whatever. I mean, I'm okay with this. Rusev's getting his, you know, 5 minutes, 50 minutes of fame or whatever you want to call it. Was Lana involved in this match at all?
Lana, I don't even recall her being on SmackDown this week. It's so weird. She's there 1 week. She's not the next week.
And it's crazy because Lana's number one. She's the best. Is.
I watched the WWE Network today, though, and they had a ride-along. It was Aiden English, Lana, and Rusev. It was pretty cool. They were playing, like, the Machka game instead of the match game.
Oh,
the match answers. It was fun. But Rusev talked about the greatest Royal Rumble and how Vince McMahon booked him against The Undertaker. And he claimed that he laughed in the chairman's face and kind of was like laughing at it. And then he wrote the Bury Me Softly tweet and got in trouble and got pulled out of the match because of that. And the Prince of Saudi Arabia then contacted McMahon and said, no, it's going to be Rusev Day.
Oh, my God.
The match. And McMahon put him in the match, back in the match for that very reason.
Oh, Rusev. He's so good.
But he seemed very cocky about it. But at the same time, if he really lacked McMahon's face and embarrassed him, McMahon wouldn't let that air on.
Of course not. Of course not.
Yeah.
Of course not. McMahon probably writes his scripts for Ride Along. Fuck.
Yeah, but, you know, whatever. We might get a good match out of it. Maybe they'll just decide to change their mind and give Rusev the title. It could be cool. But, yeah, it looks like AJ is moving on to Samoa Joe, who I do feel like will be the one to take the title off him. But we shall see.
Folks. Does AJ Styles beat CM Punk's? Are they going to make two people surpass CM Punk's
record?
Here's
the thing, though, right? So I'm pretty set on thinking that Samoa Joe's going to be the one to take the title from AJ Styles. I think they could have a good feud back and forth, you know? I think it would be a good way to give Joe a title run, too, at the same time.
Joe's not ready, in my opinion, though.
I think he is. I think he can do it.
He's just not been built up well.
Look at the run they're doing with AJ Styles. Like, you know, AJ Styles had the title for quite some time now,
and
they just really haven't been doing much with it. Like, I don't know. I just really feel like it hasn't been a notable title run, I guess. He just kind of comes out and defends it, which is good. He delivers great matches, but I feel like there's been, like, I guess I'm just thinking about the Nakamura feud that kind of went on forever. Yeah, there's just really no...
Yeah, I know what you mean. I completely feel you. It's hard to put it into words, but he's not getting the same treatment that Brock Lesnar is getting treated, in the sense that he's never the main event of a pay-per-view. And that's kind of a letdown. But what I mean about Joe is he's established for sure. The fans love him, but it was all done outside of WWE and on NXT. He just hasn't done anything really huge on the main roster. He hasn't, like...
His promos are pretty
great.
Good.
No, but his journey to the championship hasn't been significant enough. Unless they start a story right after Extreme Rules that leads to, you're saying, Hell in a Cell. Is that the pay-per-view before?
Well, you're saying that... So, if SummerSlam's in August. Let's take a look.
SummerSlam's in August. That
No, folks. It is in September in San Antonio.
Oh, so then, okay. So then we do have Hell in a Cell before it.
So, after Extreme Rules, we have SummerSlam in August, followed by Hell in a Cell in September. So, okay. Hell in a Cell falls after SummerSlam, not before.
Okay, so then they could build AJ Styles and Joe and make his journey better.
Well, also, with AJ Styles, right? Like, he made his name outside of the company as well, too. And he was doing good for himself, I guess, leading to his title run. But he had a few with Jericho, where he lost to WrestleMania. He had a few matches with, I think, Ambrose. But then he
went... He had a great
team. Yeah, this program with Cena was amazing. Yeah. So, we'll see. He ended up winning, I think, with, like, a low blow and a Styles clash. So, you know, I think Samoa, if he just has a good win, then he can go on and kind of build off of that.
Yeah.
On a side note, though, I'm looking at the pay-per-views here. Do you know there's a pay-per-view early October? It's called Super Showdown. So that's a new one, folks. Super Showdown.
Showdown. 6th. Let the speculation begin.
So SmackDown had a bunch of matches that were lackluster. I'm really, really happy to see Becky Lynch having a prominent spot on SmackDown every week now. I guess maybe with Charlotte Flair being out, it helps her. But she's been out there week after week, picking up win week after week. This week she took on Peyton Royce. And again, I'm not a big fan of the Iconics, their mean girl gimmick, but I get the purpose they serve. And normally they're okay in the ring, but this match was not very good at all. Very sloppy, jalopy. Becky picked up the win against Peyton, and it is what it is. You know, I'm not going to knock either girls. You know, sometimes, you know, matches don't come together the way you want it. But the positive I'm taking from this is Becky's picking up wins, and I like it. I like it a lot.
You're a sloppy Joe.
I would love to see Asuka take the title from Carmella and then have a match at SummerSlam between Asuka and Becky Lynch.
I think that'd be a good match.
That'd be a great match. Yeah.
This is where it leaded me to talk about something. When I saw that Becky was fighting Peyton, and then somebody commented that Peyton and Ty Dillinger are together.
Are they?
Yeah.
In real life, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Huh. And then I went to look for Ty Dillinger on Twitter, and that motherfucker has us blocked.
Yeah, you texted me, and you're like, hey, Ty Dillinger has us blocked. I'm like, whoa, what did we do? What did we do wrong this time? And I don't know. I tried to look it up, and we had a tweet with him in 2017 at some point. It was not anything relevant or even negative in any way. So I think it was, you know, sometimes you get attached to those Twitter trains, and someone will tweet something and tag you on it, and you get reply after reply, and somebody must have said something about him, and we were tagged on. I don't know what happened, but yeah, Ty Dillinger decided he doesn't like Talkamania. He's not a Talkamaniac.
Well, Dez, that leaves us with only one choice.
Are you saying, okay, he's banned?
Oh, he's banned.
He's banned. He's banned from the show.
And it's unfortunate because he's Canadian.
Well, you know what, though, but don't, I mean, he should not take that lightly, because when you're banned from the show, it doesn't turn out very good for your career.
No.
I mean, he who will not be named, who we banned already, he wasn't even on Raw this week.
Look at the pull and push that the Talkamaniacs have.
So there you have it, folks.
Ty Dillinger, this is the last time you get a mention. Do not cross the boss.
Every time she says legit boss, oh my God. You know? Like first she's making a motivational speak, like, grow up, prove that you can be who you are, and prove you can be a legit boss. And it's like, I don't want to knock Sasha Banks because
Let's knock her.
She's trying to give a good positive motivation to young women who want to make it in the industry. But like every time I hear legit boss, I sounds like a teenage high school teeny bopper. And also on that note, it's funny because we saw this week Liv Tyler take on Liv Morgan. I always say Liv Tyler. I should put money in the jar every time I do that. But Liv Morgan take on Ember Moon. Match was pretty good. Morgan was all right. She took a really good eclipse at the end of the match as well, too. But she was wrestling, and Ruby Riott was absent. And that's because she has a knee injury because she wrestled Dana Brooke the past weekend on tour, and Dana injured her knee. People were knocking on Dana a little bit and saying, hey, she keeps saying that she wants to wrestle. When she finally wrestles, she injures somebody. You know, way to go. And she actually answered back and got pretty salty about it. So good news is it's not going to be a long-term injury or at least require surgery. So Ruby should be back soon. But it should be good for – and it sucks for her because she had some good, very good momentum and the WWE seemed to be pretty high on her. But it'll be good for the rest of the Riot Squad, for their development. They keep doing their backstage segments, which I'm not too fond of. We saw Elias this week. He only made the backstage segment, and she played a song for the Riot Squad. It was super lame. It was really, really lame, folks. I'm sure it appeased to the younger crowd, but Sarah Logan is just so awkward. I don't think she's ever going to find her niche. I can even see like Liv Morgan maybe doing it. But
she's
awkward. She's like, and she like pushes things backstage and just like, oh my God, you're lame.
She's a female Skinner with less like charisma. Skinner. Look, she has sex with crocodiles.
She's awkward, sloppy in the ring. She's always falling around, lumbering. Like, I don't know. I don't think she's going to, she's got a lot of work to do. And it's funny because Liv Morgan was wrestling against Ember Moon and they were saying like, Corey Graves or one of the announcers was like, oh, I talked to Liv Morgan, and I was saying, what was one word to describe you? And she told me, juvenile. And, like, there was kind of a pause with the announcers, and Michael Cole or someone was like, juvenile? Like, why would you want to call yourself juvenile? That doesn't sound... And they kind of, like, dropped it. Kind of, like, nobody got it, and they don't know why they were told to say juvenile. But, like, that's exactly what I see when I think the Riot Squad, with their blue tongue, and the way they, like, smashing pens and knocking over cups and stuff back. It's so lame.
It's not good.
I guess they're the Riot Squad. That's what they're supposed to be doing. Like, it's right. Let's make, but like, come on. No.
It's not good.
Unless you're like a 12-year-old, high school kid, maybe. The blue tongue, like, I don't know, man.
Blown Smurfs, man. Blown Smurfs. Asuka Ellsworth?
Asuka Ellsworth. So it's funny, you can't have men versus women, but every time Ellsworth is involved, you can have a man versus a woman because he's kind of like a woman.
Maybe he's lost in transition.
He has the intergender championship. I don't know if he lost it yet or not, but
I don't think he did.
No, he's still got it, eh? Yeah.
Yeah.
And he had a match with Asuka. Asuka didn't get her hands on him too much, but when she did lay into him, she smacked him so hard across the face at one point. It was really cool to see. Then they're fighting outside the ring. Asuka chases him through the crowd. They both get counted out. So technically, I'm like, is this another loss for Asuka? I guess they know she didn't win. Nobody won. I guess not, but it's kind of silly. But
nobody loses to Asuka.
Yeah, nobody does. And so no contest. The match didn't last too long. I think they're having a rematch next week. So it's going to be a copy and paste. It will be the week leading into the match with Carmella. And it's all really going to tell you what's going to happen based on what you see next week. So if Asuka beats up James Ellsworth, pins him clean, and chases down Carmella, well, Carmella's going to win. If Asuka gets her ass kicked and beat down, then Asuka's going to win. They've just brought James Ellsworth back, so I'm pretty sure they're going to stick the title on Carmella and keep it on her, meaning Asuka's going to eat another loss, unless it's a DQ or something, which it has to be at this point. If you make her lose twice against Carmella, oh my God, it's just, they're undoing so much that they did to build up Asuka into who she is. I'm okay with her eating losses sometimes. I think it's better now, but now they're doing it so freely, and the way they do it, like, it should really be like, if she gets beat, it could be by like maybe a roll-up, with like holding the tights, or a fan had asked this on Twitter as well too. you know, when James Ellsworth came back, he should have just appeared underneath the apron and held Asuka's leg down when Carmella pinned her. Yes, that could have been perfect. And then he kind of comes out and he's like, oh, I held the leg and all that shit. But for him to come out wearing the mask, wearing the jacket, like, what? That was silly. But you know what? Fine. She could have rolled up Asuka. Asuka kicked out. They should have ended it there at that point.
We're doing this again. I love it, man. I love it. Shit, you completely ruined my train of thought. I had something good to bring up about this. Ah, what was it?
That it's all garbage.
Do you think that, because Triple H, Asuka was Triple H's girl, right?
Of course, it's a Vince McMahon decision.
Do you think Vince is like, you know what, Triple H, this is for fucking my daughter. And he's just ruining.
It's not for fucking my daughter. I think it's just because he can.
Because I can.
Just like he keeps pushing Roman, because he will.
He will. You better believe that. I can, I will.
A few notes outside of SmackDown.
Hold on, we got it. Hold on. One sec. I still can't get over. And Rucker, this one's for you. And I can't get over. I love that guy. If you don't listen to him, check out his podcast.
Good shit. So
you were saying?
Yeah. That's pretty much catching up with Raw and SmackDown. There were some other noteworthy things. We had the B team. The B team taking on Matt Hardy. We had Curtis Axel. He beat Matt Hardy for 2 weeks in a row. I'm not a big fan of Curt Axel's finishing move. I don't even know what it really is. It just comes some kind of reverse neck breaker kind of thing, a front neck breaker. And he should be doing some variation of the perfect plex. I don't know why they're erasing his history completely. He should come out with a towel. He should be swinging it around and doing all kinds of stuff like his dad did. I don't know.
He should be like Mr. Not Perfect.
Yeah, that could be good too. It could work. He just never catches the towel, you know?
or like he spits the gum out and can't swat it.
Or he chokes on it when he catches it in his mouth or something. but we saw him take on Matt Hardy. Bray Wyatt was not there because Bray Wyatt got in a car accident this week. He should be fine. He went to the hospital, got cited with reckless driving. Maybe he was getting a Hummer from Charlie. His name's Charlie, right?
Jojo.
Oh, my God. Hold on. Let me erase that. He got cited. He got cited for reckless driving. He got cited for reckless driving. Who knows? Maybe he was getting a Hummer from Coco.
Oh, God. We're still keeping all of this.
Is her name Coco?
Her name is Jojo.
I know. I don't know, man. I don't know.
It's the heat. It's the heat in Montreal,
dude,
guys.
It's like 33 or 34 degrees in this room right now. I'm sweating my ass off. But yeah. In a car accident, he'll be fine, he'll be back. They'll be defending their tag team titles against the B team at Extreme Rules. I hope this pay-per-view gets a lot more extreme matches, because right now it is not looking very extreme. We only have the Iron Man match and the Extreme Rules match. I think every match should have some kind of extreme element. So
yes,
I think they had this problem last year too, and people were bitching about it, and they still haven't learned, but you know,
just change the name of the pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's it.
There should be no hardcore matches, or like, they got to eliminate all that. If it's PG, it's PG, and just accept it for what it is. These are things that were created during the Attitude Era, and, you know, it's just...
Do you want a massage?
No, I don't. I really don't.
I don't feel like one either. I'm sorry. Yeah. Not in the
drink,
mood.
Drink, bitch.
Okay, well, it's going to wrap up another episode of Talkamania. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We weren't there last week. We're going to be here with you every week going forward. Couple things before we get going. ProWrestlingTees.com/Talkamania. Support the show. Nothing supports us better than going there and buying some merch. We'll give you 3 weeks if you are a content creator, a blog writer, YouTuber, a Twitcher, a ditcher, a bitcher. I don't give a shit what you are. We will plug your stuff for 3 weeks on our show for purchasing a tee. Other than that, follow us on Twitter @_Talkamania, Podbean, iTunes. We're part of Chairshot Radio. Check those guys out. They're freaking awesome. There's a whole bunch of great podcasts out there. Stay cool. It's freaking hot out there. And before I go any further for Talking Mania, J-Bomb's out. Say bye, Dez.
Bye, folks. Enjoy your summer. Stay cool. Drink lots of water. And happy Rusev Day.
Suckers walk! Ugh!